Anthem 27. Based on the first chapter of Zechariah, he has asked that we go there to take an introductory reading. So that's the prophecy of Zechariah, chapter 1. We'll ask Brother Matthew Tippins if he would lead us in that reading.
Came the word of Yahweh unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, Yahweh hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Therefore say thou unto them, Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, Turn ye unto me, saith Yahweh of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith Yahweh of hosts. Be not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, Turn ye now from your evil ways, and from your evil doings. For they did not hear them, nor hearken unto thee, saith Yahweh. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? For my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, Like as Yahweh of hosts thought to do unto us, according to our ways and according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us. On the 4th and 20th day of the 11th month, which is the month of Sivat, in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of Yahweh unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse, and he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him were their red horses, speckled and white. Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what to be. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, These are they whom Yahweh hath sent to walk to and fro through the earth. And he answered the angel of Yahweh that stood among the myrtle trees and said, We have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth that is still is at rest. Then the angel of Yahweh answered and said, O Yahweh of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem, and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years. And Yahweh answered the angel that talked with me with good words and comfortable words. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, Cry thou, saying, Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. And I am very sore displeased with thee that are at ease. For I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. Therefore thus saith Yahweh, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith Yahweh of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Cry yet, saying, Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, My cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and Yahweh shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Then lifted up mine eyes, and saw, and behold, four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, What be these? And he answered me, These are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. And Yahweh showed me four carpenters. Then said I, What came these to do? And he spake, saying, These are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head. And these are come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah, to scatter it.
And so without further ado, now we'll call forward Brother Arthur, and we ask for your earnest attention whilst he comes and addresses us on that subject. The man among the myrtle trees, and the four horns, and four carpenters, based on Zechariah chapter 1. Brother Arthur.
As a members, brothers and sisters, our study this weekend is on the seven visions of the prophet Zechariah. That which the prophet was given from Yahweh during one night. Visions in which, as we shall see this weekend, God willing, speaks of things which would be enacted many days after the prophet himself would go the way of all the earth. A time when he would be resurrected, when the things spoken of in these visions would be enacted before them upon the earth, and he himself would become a constituent part of them. Zechariah the prophet and his contemporary Haggai had been born in Babylon, and were among the children of Israel exiled in Babylon, and had responded to the call to return to the land of their fathers by the decree of Cyrus, king of Persia, B.C. 536. For that 70-year captivity prophesied by Jeremiah the prophet upon the people of Israel because of their iniquity and turning from their God was now nearing an end. And this wonderful event, allowing the Jews back to the land which Zion the prophet had spoken of 200 years before, and had even announced by Cyrus, whom Isaiah mentioned by name. Babylon had fallen to the Medes and Persians, and after reigning with Darius 2 years, Cyrus took the sole rule of Babylon and announced that the Jews would be allowed to return to their home. Let us go to the prophet Jeremiah and chapter 25 to see why this 70 years captivity had come about. Jeremiah chapter 25 and verse 8. Therefore thus saith Yahweh of hosts, because ye have not heard my words. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith Yahweh, and Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and an hissing, and perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the candle, and this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith Yahweh, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations. And if we just turn to the 29th chapter of Jeremiah and verse 10, and there we will read, "For thus saith Yahweh, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place." And this was, as we might say, brethren and sisters, a wonderful event for those Jews, that as a nation they were able to return to the land of their fathers. And Cyrus, by a decree, gave the returning exiles the vessels of the temple, which Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had seized 70 years before and had been brought to Babylon. He also gave them a large sum of money to assist them in the tremendous work that would need to be done in the land so that the temple might be built or rebuilt, the walls of Jerusalem made up, and that Yahweh's great and holy name might once again be worshipped in Jerusalem, the place that he had placed his name. Some 49,697 of the tribes of Israel had responded to the call to return with Zerubbabel and Joshua, who had undertook to organize the great and wonderful event. Later, Ezra and Nehemiah too returned to urge the people on in the work that was to be done in the land against all opposition. Zerubbabel was a descendant of King David and was acknowledged as the leader of the people. Joshua, the son of Jozadak, was the high priest. And so together they represented the civil and a religious authority, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will be king priest of his people when he in the latter days will once again lead his people back to the land from the nations of the world, as predicted in the visions which Zechariah was given, which we are indeed to consider this weekend, when the nation will be no more driven from their land, nor persecuted by the nations ever again. Indeed, a time when every man would sit under his own vine and under his own fig tree, and none would make him afraid. We find the theme of the prophecy enigmatically given in the first chapter of Zechariah. And we read that in the first chapter of Zechariah as expressing the meaning of the name supplied by the prophet, as brought out by Brother Roberts and Brother Mansfield. Zechariah, Yahweh hath remembered. Berechiah, Yahweh hath blessed. Iddo, the appointed time, which in conjunction proclaim the message of the book. Yahweh hath remembered, and Yahweh hath blessed at the appointed time. The 70 years of captivity were over. Yahweh hath remembered, Yahweh hath blessed his people at the appointed time. These same visions, brothers and sisters, Zechariah received from Yahweh, were given, we note, while the building, the work of building the temple was in progress. A time of great blessing, which pointed forward to a fulfillment far into the future of Zechariah's day, when once again Yahweh will remember his people, and at an appointed time. In chapter 4 of Zechariah and verse 1 we read, "The angel that talked with me," says the prophet, "came again and waked me, as a man that is wakened out of his sleep." So what the prophet saw after he was wakened out of sleep refers to that glorious time after the resurrection and judgment at Christ's return for its accomplishment. But we find, brothers and sisters, in this chapter, before Zechariah was given the visions, he was commanded to speak unto the people some very sobering words. Read chapter 1 and verse 2. And Yahweh hath been so displeased with your fathers. Therefore say thou unto them, thus saith Yahweh of hosts, turn ye unto me, saith Yahweh of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith Yahweh of hosts. Be not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, thus saith Yahweh of hosts, turn ye now from your evil way and from your evil doings. But they did not hear, nor hearken unto me, saith Yahweh. And we noted that what Jeremiah spoke. But my words, your fathers, where are they? And the prophets are there forever. But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, like as Yahweh of hosts ought to do unto us, according to our ways and according to our doings, have he dealt with us. These were sobering words, brethren and sisters. Words which must have made the people blush with shame, for their fathers had sinned grievously against Yahweh. They had failed to heed the warnings of the prophets that he had sent unto them. He had blessed them, and yet they failed to heed the warnings that the prophets had sent up and told them. And so Yahweh, through the prophets, asks them, where are your fathers now? Where are your fathers now? Gone the way of all the earth. Where are the prophets who spoke unto them in my name to repent? Gone the way of all the earth. But what of my words which I spake to your fathers? Did they not come to pass? Oh yes, brothers and sisters, they had certainly come to pass, as that generation were well aware of. For they said in their answer, like as Yahweh of hosts thought to do unto us according to our ways and according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us. Jerusalem had been ploughed like a field. Their king Zedekiah had seen his sons slain before him, and then was blinded by his captors, so that the last thing that he saw with his eyes was his sons being slain before him. And then he was sent to exile with the people for 70 years because of their infidelity unto Yahweh. For 70 years, brothers and sisters, other men had been lords over them while their land laid waste. And we think, brothers and sisters, of that terrible time. And we think of the psalmist. When we read sometimes that only so many of them came back from Babylon, you think, well, it couldn't have been all that bad, really. Or they would have all rushed back. 6 million Jews were killed in Germany, but still Jews living in Germany, whatever way it is. But those that were there, they said, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. But they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the songs of Yahweh in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I preferred not Jerusalem above my chief joy. to the sincere and believing Jew, Jerusalem was his chief joy, and to be in Babylon was heartbreaking, no doubt. And Yahweh never brings judgment upon his people without warning them first. And he had warned them. He had warned them of what would become if they kept their wicked ways. Time and time again, they would not hear. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16 is the piercing point. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Thus saith Yahweh, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I said, watchman over you, said, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore, hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. So that generation, brothers and sisters, the exhortation to Yahweh was when they returned from Babylon, as Haggai the prophet had exhorted them. Consider your ways. Consider your ways and return unto Yahweh, and he will return unto you. We are then told that in that night, brothers and sisters, Zechariah was given the first of seven visions. We're into chapter, first chapter of Zechariah, and chapter 7, and verse 7, sorry. Upon the 14th day of the 11th month, which is the month Sivan, in the second year of Darius, gave the word of Yahweh unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo the prophet, saying, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse, and he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him were their red horses, speckled and white. Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked to me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. As Brother Mansfield says in his book on Zechariah, the visions Zechariah were given to him were largely to draw upon the events of the prophet's day as a foundation for the prophetic vision of the future. Yahweh had remembered, and Yahweh had blessed his people at the appointed time, for at the end of the 70-year captivity, he had blessed them in bringing them back to the land, just as he told the prophet Jeremiah and Ezekiel that he would bring them back. And in the visions given to the prophet, we are shown that he will also in the future remember Israel and bless them. For as prophesied, as Israel would once again turn from Yahweh and once again be scattered throughout the earth, but at the appointed time, in Yahweh's love and mercy for his people, and because of the promises made to the fathers, he would bring them back and bless them forevermore. So as in the days of the Apostle John, when in Patmos, Zechariah had a vision of horses of diverse colours, red, bay, and pale horses, ranged about behind a man upon a red horse, standing among myrtle trees. To help us in understanding of the visions, Scripture points out that myrtle trees were used in the construction of booths under which Israel dwelt on that joyous occasion when they left Israel, Egypt, and in which Israel also dwelt when celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, that feast which spake of the ingathering of the harvest, a wonderful time, of the ingathering of the harvest, a joyful time indeed. Myrtle trees speak of beauty, fragrance, and they are evergreen. The beauty of holiness, of which we have to show unto Yahweh. A sweet smelling savour, which we have to show unto Yahweh. And He will bestow upon us eternal life, as the evergreen shows. Yes, that feast was a joyful time indeed. And myrtle speaks of beauty, fragrance, and evergreen. And myrtle, it is said, is a derivation of Esther, or Hadassah, a symbol of Israel in restoration. And it is interesting that Brother Thomas brings out in Eureket Volume 1, when speaking of these visions of Zechariah, he says, in their rebelliousness, the Jews are regarded as briars and thorns. But in restoration, because of their righteousness, they are as olive branches, pine branches, myrtle branches, and palm trees. And he quotes the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 13, where it is said, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to Yahweh for a name. For an a and memorial that shall not be cut off. And I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, and the myrtle and the olive tree. And I will set in the desert the fir tree, the pine, and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of Yahweh hath done this. The hand of Yahweh hath done this. And the Holy One of Israel, the Lord Jesus, hath created it. So when these things prophesied by Isaiah comes to pass, says Brother Thomas, it not only imports that the land previously desolate shall become like Eden, the garden of Yahweh, but that all its inhabitants in Messiah's own land, the millennial aeon, shall be trees of righteousness, the planting of Yahweh, that He might be glorified. Right away then, brethren and sisters, as we have seen, these visions given to Zechariah speak of a future, a wonderful, joyous future for Israel, who in that day, after the rebels have been purged from among them, will become a repentant and righteous people. Yes, Yahweh will remember. He will bless His people at the appointed time. I saw by night, said the prophet, that is the gentle night of Israel's exile from the land, a time of great deliverance, a deliverance which the psalmist speaks of in Psalm 114. In 114th Psalm we read, rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners might be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets, that our oxen might be strong to labour, and that there be no breaking in, nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose Elohim is Yahweh. So the visions then, brethren and sisters, given to Zechariah speak of a time when Israel shall be gathered to the land, when that glorious temple, that house of prayer for all nations shall be set up. A time of great joy and peace. A time of rest from all that offends. As Brother Thomas says, at the Feast of Tabernacles, first ensuing, when the Holy One of Israel, the man on the red horse, shall have completed his conquest, and shall be Prince of Peace in the midst of Israel, and he and his cavalry have marched to and fro throughout the earth with blood, signified by the redness of the horse, the famine by the bay, and pestilence by the pail, until the earth is reduced to submission. Then shall they obtain rest from these calamities. Only then will the earth be free from the terrible calamities. But I've seen, brothers and sisters, so often in the scriptures and in the apocalypse, we see in these visions the end of the matter as it were first. We see the end of the matter first. The man in the myrtle trees and the one with him are at rest. Their work is completed. And we find that also in the apocalypse we get this same idea, that the work is completed, and then we are told how it is completed. Let's turn to the Apocalypse in chapter 15 and verse 2. The 15th chapter of the Apocalypse and verse 2. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of Elohim, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the testimony in heaven was opened. And then as we go through the apocalypse, we see how these things come to pass. So we see then, in the very beginning, we see the end of the matter first. We see them at peace, and then we are shown how this peace comes about. And so what we would like to do this evening, brethren and sisters, is to consider who the players, or movers we might say, in the vision are, as it were. And let our brethren this weekend bring out in their studies how this glorious time of peace and rest spoken of will be accomplished through those players or movers. They will bring out, we pray, how these things will come about so that consummation will take place. So let us briefly then consider firstly the horns. Those who had scattered Judah so that no man did lift up the head, and which had been made afraid, as the scriptures of truth show to us, finds in his expository dictionary of New Testament words, in speaking of horns, says a horn is used in the plural as the symbol of strength in the apocalyptic visions. He says the horn is used in the plural as the symbol of strength in the apocalyptic visions. He said, on the head of the Lamb, as the symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ. On the head of the beasts, as symbolic of national potentates. And as we know, brethren and sisters, an animal uses its horns to overcome its enemies. And so we got the idea of these nations using their power, the horns, to overcome, and in particular, the nation of Israel. The horns, as the prophet Daniel shows us, are the four world powers, as seen in the metallic image of Daniel. We have the head of gold, Babylon, the chest and arms of silver, Persia, the belly and thighs, brass, the Greeks, the two legs of iron, Rome, east and west, two legs, or as it, we have it revealed in the 7th chapter of Daniel, the lion, the bear, the leopard, and the dreadful, terrible beast. And each one, brothers and sisters, when we consider them and when we look at them, each one of these beasts is a known persecutor and destroyer of God's people, the Jews. They have scattered Israel from throughout the earth for nigh on 2,000 years, so that they have been in a prostrate condition with no resting place, even being referred to as the wandering Jew. And regarding the metallic image which speaks of those powers, brothers and sisters, Scripture tells us that they shall stand as one mighty united power in the latter days, the days in which you and I live. And once again they shall come upon Yahweh's people. They shall stand upon its clay feet, and it shall come upon Yahweh's people once again to scatter and to persecute them, but shall fall and perish on the mountains of Israel. Or as we read in the 17th chapter of the Apocalypse, these shall make war with the Lamb, but the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In the vision, the man among the myrtle trees is riding, or he's controlling, a red horse upon which he's travelling, we are told, or been travelling throughout the earth, to and fro throughout the earth. And a red horse speaks of bloodshed and war. For horses in those days of old, brothers and sisters, were used primarily for war. And as we see in the Scriptures, the horse is symbolically used for an army going forth to battle. In Zechariah 10 and verse 3, we read, Yahweh of hosts, or armies, hath visited his flock, the house of Judah, and hath made them as his goodly horse in the battle. Behind the man among the myrtle trees are those who have been with him in the work, in the battle with the horns. For he is their commander-in-chief, as the prophet in Isaiah says, he whom Yahweh hath given for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. The same one whom the prophet Daniel speaks of, who shall stand up in the latter days for the children of his people in their time of trouble. Even Michael, one like Ael, the captain of their salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to the 19th chapter of the Apocalypse. The 19th chapter of the Apocalypse. And we read then in verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. and he treadeth the wineless of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture or on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The man upon the horse is seen at the bottom, or rather, better rendered, is seen in the shade, that is under the shade of the booths. For the great work done, they are now resting in victory, celebrating the great feast of tabernacles with great joy. Tabernacles talking about the harvest of the earth. They're celebrating in great joy. These are the carpenters, or the craftsmen, the brethren of the carpenter's son, even the Lord Jesus Christ. They are the squadrons of the man in the midst of the myrtle trees, who are the scriptures shown to us, the four cherubims of Ezekiel. Those whose wings were like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech as the noise of an host or an army. But now their wings have been let down and they are resting. As Ezekiel says, whither the Spirit is to go, they go. Or as the Apostle John tells us in the Apocalypse, these are they who follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. They go with the Lamb to fight the battle. Turn to Psalm 149. Psalm 149, which speaks of the honour of the saints in this wonderful work that is to be done. Psalm 149. Verse 5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high places of the ale be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the nations and punishments upon the people. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute upon them the judgment written, this honour of all his saints. Praise ye Yahweh. They are indeed the 144,000. They are those that in their mortal lives would not hurt any man, for they followed the Lord Jesus Christ in love. But the time comes and the judgment is to come upon the earth, and they follow Christ to avenge his people. They have been redeemed from among men. They are the four spirits of the heavens going forth from standing between the Lord, before the Lord of all the earth. In essence, brothers and sisters, they are the faithful of the ages. The majority of them who have been sleeping in the dust of the earth, now raised to stand before their Lord. To stand before their Lord, resurrection, immortalized, and laid like unto their master, whom they followed all their life. They are saints in Christ Jesus in belligerent manifestation, and in their four-score encampments, under their commander-in-chief, they terrify the hordes, those nations of the earth, and they make them afraid, and cast them out of the nations. Jeremiah 51 verse 20 says of them, thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. For with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms. This is that time of trouble that Daniel speaks of which had not been since there was a nation upon the earth. And we are told of such a terrible time it will be that the slain will be from one end of the earth to the other. So that in that day, the horns, the nations are broken in pieces They are humbled before their God by the stone that smites the image upon its feet. Christ and the saints, which will sweep them away as chaff of the threshing floor, so that the Holy Land and city are avenged and Zion is comforted in that glorious day. Arise and fresh, O daughter of Zion, says the prophet Micah. For I will make thine eye on iron, and I will make thine hooves brass, and thou shalt break in pieces many people. And I will consecrate gain unto Yahweh, and their substance unto the Adon of the whole earth, the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Crowcroft said, speaking of Israel's last and worst and most terrible of its blood-stained history, he said, worse than the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Romans, and Hitler. For years the Arabs, edged on by Russia and the papacy, have sworn to completely destroy Israel from the face of the earth. We are told that in the last invasion, 2/3 of the people in the land shall be cut off and die. It is clear, therefore, said Brother Crowcroft, both from prophecy and from present utterances, that the papal Gorgian confederacy proposes to solve the Jewish question once and forever. It has this point, says Brother Crowcroft, that in Ezekiel 38 and verse 18 are fulfilled. Then shall my fury come up in my face. Then, says Yahweh, my fury shall come up in my face. Brother Crowcroft says, this is the eyes as a flame of fire, and countenance as lightning of the multitudinous man of Christ, the rainbowed angel. Then shall Yahweh go forth and fight against those nations. The psalmist says in Psalm 37, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon Yahweh, they shall inherit the earth. And to give us an idea, brothers and sisters, just an idea of how terrified and fearful the nations will be in that day, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 2. Just to give us an idea of how terrified those nations will be in that day. Isaiah and chapter 2. In verse 2 we read, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of Yahweh's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the Elohim of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. And then we turn and we look to the nations in this time of judgment. Verse 8. Their land is also full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, which made their own fingers have made. And the mean man boweth down, and the great man humble himself. Therefore forgive them not. Enter into the rock and hide thyself into the dust, for fear of Yahweh, for the glory of his majesty. In that day the lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men be bowed down, and Yahweh alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of Yahweh of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fence wall. Verse 18. And the idols he shall utterly abolish, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks, and into the caves of the earth for fear of Yahweh, and for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terribly the earth. In that day, a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself, to the worship, to the molds, and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the rugged mountains of the rocks, for fear of Yahweh, and for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terribly the earth. Yes, brothers and sisters, as we are told in Zechariah, it will be a terrible time. It will be a terrible time, as Daniel says, for those that will not walk in Yahweh's ways. When that war is over, and sin is restrained in the earth, they will be told in that wonderful day, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. It is the only way, whereas we will have peace on earth and goodwill among men. In that day there will be no anti-Semitism among them, save from the terrible judgment. For we are told that in that age, men will take hold of a Jew and say, we will go with you, for we know that God is with you. What a wonderful time for his people Israel, with all the anti-Semitism that is in the world today. Just as Zerubbabel and Joshua returned with the exiles from Babylon and built the temple, so that Yahweh might be worshipped in the land in peace, so too the Lord Jesus Christ will return from exile. He will return from heaven, and with the faithful now made immortal, will build up that house of prayer for all nations, a day when all the earth shall be filled with the glory of Yahweh. May it be our lot, brothers and sisters. May it be our lot in that day of rest and great joy to be with the faithful, that we may sing with the faithful, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure, which man forgets, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. In the days of Nebuchadnezzar, the Chaldean destroyed Jerusalem, burned the temple, scattered his people, as did too the Romans, as we are witness in our day, and ploughed Jerusalem as a field. Over 1 million of God's people perished in that day, and they scattered the rest throughout the earth. Yes, says Brother Roberts in 13 lectures, the Gentiles have exalted the horn over the land of Israel, but not by their own prowess, but by divine permission and arrangement. By divine permission and arrangement, because of Israel's sins. But Yahweh has not forgotten. And because of the nation's wickedness, the time was coming when they now will be judged by Yahweh. They will be judged. Yahweh's anger is about to come up into his face. For in his jealousy, he completely destroyed Babylon, as we know so well, and as the ruins showed forth today, when he said it would never be built again, and it never has been, and never will be. and Rome and the nations will be judged. But, says Yahweh, my cities, through prosperity, shall yet be spread abroad. And Yahweh shall comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem again. Whilst modern Babylon will literally go down into the abyss, Jerusalem will rise above the mountains of the world. The kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Yahweh will remember his people and bless them at the appointed time. For he takes pleasure in his people and will beautify the meek with salvation. The prophet speaking of this time says, sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Why? Why would they sing? For Yahweh hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast the enemy out of the earth, those horns. The king of Israel is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt see no evil anymore. What a wonderful time for Israel. Thou shalt see no evil anymore. Our spiritual Israel, brethren and sisters, may we be among the carpenters in that day. May we be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as the wise man tells us, keep these visions before your eyes. Keep these visions before your eyes. For without a vision, we too shall faint. If we do not keep these things in our minds, now in these latter days, we will faint like the world and follow the world. For these things we must indeed consider. May then this weekend we consider these things with the words of our brethren. How the wonderful time will come to pass. Even from the time of the Lord Jesus Christ up until the day when he returns. For Yahweh will remember and he will bless his people, both Israel of the flesh and Israel of the spirit.
Brethren and sisters, you'd like me to thank Brother Arthur for his address and efforts this evening. And indeed, as Brother Arthur concluded there, how we long for that time when both natural and spiritual Israel shall be blessed in the land and over the earth. That pretty much brings our proceedings for today to a close. Just some announcements concerning tomorrow. So breakfast is to be served in the same room that we've just had refreshments in between the hours of 8 and 9. So that's 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. The first study tomorrow is at 9:30. And on that occasion, Brother Matthew will speak to us on the subject, the man with the measuring line, based on Zechariah. And chapter 2. We will be locking this theatre after everyone has vacated the hall. And just a reminder that these are public areas, so don't leave any valuables unattended at any time. So tomorrow I wouldn't recommend leaving laptops and things in this room. It is a public area, and anyone staying on site, the Wi-Fi area is just outside the door, so we might see some people over the weekend just outside the door there. We'll bring this present meeting to a close now with a word of prayer through Brother Matthew, please, before which we'll sing anthem number 40. Anthem 40. Yahweh Elohim, when shall we see the sign of thy coming? When shall it be? We labor today thy rest to attain. We watch and we pray thy aeon to gain. We wait for thy token, we know thou art nigh. That's Anthem 40.